This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope, East Hawaii. In his message entitled Attitude Part 1, Pastor Scott launches a new series on our attitudes toward three controlling factors in our lives. Our attitudes towards these three factors control our thoughts, our hearts, and affect the way that we serve God and others. This message was delivered on February 26th, 2017. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Well, good morning, New Hope. Oh, I had a couple weeks off, man, and we had some excellent speakers, yeah? Pastor Aaron and Jay Wynn, they did a wonderful job, yeah? I think I can take more Sundays off. Well, actually, being that they were so good, I think it just showed that I did my job. Yeah, I mean, that's how it is. You always want somebody to come up and they're better than you, and you applaud them. Amen? Well, we're going to be talking about attitude and the different types. And you know, I was driving the other day, and man, I tell you, I was coming home, and I swear, I'm always behind the slow guys. And I my attitude is so bad. I'm behind these guys, and I'm grumbling. I say, what part of slower traffic, keep right, don't you understand? And I'm praying, like, I hope this is not anybody in my church. Please, you know, and it's like I'm driving, and then finally the guy is in front of me, get out of my way, and then the guy in front of me is driving just as slow. Make that turn, and there's, I mean, God must be telling me, oh, you need patience or you need an attitude adjustment. And I think I needed both of them. Amen? You know, there were so many times in my life that I just had a bad attitude. I had a bad attitude towards my parents. Any of you had any of those? Yeah, the rest of you lying. And for those of you whose bosses are here, how many of you, don't raise your hand, but you had a bad attitude towards your boss? My boss is here, so, but, you know, that was before. I was just bad. I used to have bad attitude towards my teachers, man. I would be such a bad student that I would make my teachers so mad that they would actually pull me on the side and tell me that they're all pissed off at me. They had it up to here because, man, I was rotten. I had a bad attitude towards policemen. I had bad attitude towards politicians. And even towards certain types of cars that I didn't like. You know what I mean, right? You see those cars on the side of the road and you call them names. You see them on the back of the tow truck and you laugh. I mean, my attitude could have been like, if you ever made bread, you ever put yeast in the flour and it just, you know, permeates the whole flour and it rises. And, you know, when the Bible talks about yeast, it's like sin. And my attitude was like that. And I can tell you, over the years, oh, I must have infected so many people. Recently, I was talking with a friend of mine, nobody from this church, and he was telling me a story about a business, and there was an employee who had a really rotten attitude, and the owner didn't catch it in time, and soon enough, it infected, you know, two or three of the employees, and what happened was, like, two or three of them quit all at the same time because they had a bad, just infected, and they left the owner in a very, very tight spot. And I was thinking, like, wow, man, that could have been me infecting others. You know, attitudes, whether you know it or not, they can be very, very contagious. I mean, if you hang around somebody with a bad attitude, next thing you know, you're taking that bad attitude and you're bringing it home, you're infecting your home. But it works the other way too. If you hang around people with great attitudes, man, you bring that positiveness with you wherever you go. And you know, I like to hang around people with good attitudes. Do you? I hope you guys like to do that too. Now, what is your attitude like? Is it one that people say, like, oh, I like hanging around him because every time I hang around him, I feel good, I feel better? Or is it one of those that when you see that person, you turn the other way and run? Yeah, maybe like, you know, like when you spray off on yourselves, the mosquitoes don't want to come, they run from you. I mean, is your attitude like that? Like, oh, I don't, you know, you like, you look at your phone and you're like, oh no, I am not answering this call. Right? You know, when it's like, oh, you want to avoid people like that, right? So what is your attitude like? Is it one that, oh, I like hanging around them? Or is it one like, oh, I don't want to go. Or somebody invites you somewhere and then you ask, oh, is so-and-so coming? Okay, no, thank you, I pass. You know, sometimes it's like that. I mean, sometimes my attitude was even bad when I went fishing because I didn't get to fish where I wanted to fish. Instead of thinking like, man, I get to be down at the ocean with some friends. And my attitude needs to change. Now, I want our attitude as followers of Christ, as people of New Hope East Hawaii, to reflect our Creator, to be positive, to be encouraging, to be biblical. Now, nobody wants to or has to live with a bad attitude. Each and all, every one of us, we have the power to change our attitude. And it's up to us. Because I can tell you, a lot of things in life, you cannot control. You cannot control me beeping my horn behind you because you're driving 35 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone. You cannot control that, right? But you can control your attitude. Say, oh, I'm just going to drive my way I drive, and that's their problem. You can say, how come somebody is sitting in my seat today? Yeah, this is my seat. I've been in this seat for the last 8 years, and somebody's sitting in my seat today. You cannot control that. But your attitude, great, there's a new person here and they're sitting in my seat. That's wonderful. When they get up and greet, I'm going to take it. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah. Now, when you have a negative attitude, just think that, man, I have the power within me to change that. Starting right now. You don't have to live with it any longer. Now, in the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at attitude toward some important subjects. Starting with number one, our attitude toward government. Oh, we know that's on topic right now, yeah? We know in the past, we had politicians that did some bad stuff and some good stuff. You know, there were so many times that I did not agree with government. In fact, most of the people that I voted for never got into office, and that made me mad. I was upset when our former governor legalized same-sex marriage when the people voted on it. I was upset. I was very upset when they took away my choice not to wear my seatbelt. Because if I didn't wear my seatbelt, would it save your life? No, it was just taking away my choice. And I was mad. Was I the only one? Anybody? Or me, just me then, you know? Oh, right there, James. Because I was thinking like, okay, how is me not wearing my seatbelt going to harm anybody else? And I thought, that's my choice. If I want my head smashed into my windshield, that is my choice, right? Nobody, it's not going to hurt nobody else. So, and then I was very, very upset. But I wear my seatbelt now every day, all right? And there came a point in my life where my attitude toward government was very bad. I didn't want to vote. I thought they were all crooks. And I just was like, you know, you self-serving blankety blank, 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 blank. And if, you know, there would be all beeps there. But there came a point in my life where my attitude toward government changed. And that happened when I opened up the Word of God. And I read what the Bible says about our attitude toward government. In Romans 13, 1 and 2, Paul writes, "Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves." So now Rome was the imperial capital. It was where the government, the seat of government was. And the people who lived in Rome, Paul's initial readers were aware of the good and the bad in the city in the days of Nero, who reigned in that time. But they were also, okay, they were citizens of Rome, but they were citizens of God's kingdom. And they discuss how Christian's relationship to his government and civil rulers. And there were times, okay, when they did not obey the government. Okay, so we should never allow our government to force us to disobey God. Okay? Jesus and his disciples, they never, as far as I can recall, they never disobeyed government for their own personal reasons. When they disobeyed government, it was in order to follow God's moral standards, not their own. But when they did that, their disobedience to government wasn't cheap. Okay? Because when they didn't obey government and they obeyed God, they got punished. They got whipped, they got thrown in jail, some guys got killed. So, if we are going to disobey government to follow God, we understand there might be some consequences. Yeah. 1 Timothy 2. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and boldness. So wherever we may find ourselves, whether we disagree with the person in office or we support them, the Bible tells us to pray. The Bible doesn't tell us if they're good, pray for them, or if they're bad, pray for them. It just says to pray for them. 1 Peter 2, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as one in authority or governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. When Peter was talking to his readers, he said to respect human authority. And he was speaking about, again, the Roman Empire under Nero, who was a very cruel tyrant. He was not telling his believers be compromise, but he said we must obey God rather than men. Okay? So in life, in our attitude towards our government, the Bible tells us to, most of all, to continually pray for them. whether or not we voted for them. No matter what your attitude towards government is, because, man, every day on the news you see something about government. And whether you voted for them or what, the Bible tells us to pray for them. Because God is the one who put them in place. Amen? So now, going to number two, what is our attitude towards sin? Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Now, there is a difference between committing a sin and continuing to sin. Because I'm going to tell you, even the most faithful believers sometimes commit sins. I know I do. If you was to put a recorder in my car, you would say like, what? Oh my. So I each week I try my very best to get you to follow Jesus. Because man will disappoint you. Jesus will not. Okay, so even the most faithful believers will commit a sin. We do not cherish it, but we continually choose to repent. A believer who commits a sin repents and it finds forgiveness. A person who continues to sin, by contrast, they might not be sorry for it, for what they're doing. So they never confess. They never receive forgiveness. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? It says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. Oh, I'm glad this is were, yeah, not such are some of you. Man, because I was almost every one of those. You know, and I chose to repent. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit of God. You know, sometimes in this society, it's easy to overlook some of these things. Have we become comfortable with sin that we may commit it and not feel convicted by the Holy Spirit? Are we at that point? Do we truly, really believe that the Bible says for the wages of sin is? Yeah, it is. Do we believe that enough to know that when we sin, man, I need to say, like, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. I confess, I repent. Help me. Set my mind on things above. What is your attitude? Do you believe? Do you believe that, hey, I don't sin? Because some people actually believe, I don't sin. I'm good. The Bible says all have sinned, including me. I'll be the first to admit it. So what is it? Will you repent? Will you repent? Will you confess? Will you ask God for forgiveness? Or maybe some of you, we've been stuck in it for so long that we're just numb to it. We feel immune. I tell you, you're not. What is our attitude towards sin? Is it, I need to repent, confess, and move on? Number three, what is your attitude towards God? Ecclesiastes 5:1-7. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen. rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few, as a dream comes when there are many cares. So the speech of a fool when there are many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better not to vow than to make a vow and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin. And do not protest to the messenger. My vow was a mistake. Why should God be angry at what you say and destroy the work of your hands? Much dreaming and many words are meaningless. Therefore, stand in awe of God. Kind of long, but what is he saying? When you enter the house of God, have an attitude of being open, being ready to listen, not to dictate to him what you think or what he should do. Solomon was warning his readers about making promises to God. See, in that culture back then, the Israelite culture, making a vow was a very, very serious matter. And vows were voluntary. But once made, they were unbreakable. How many of you made vows before God, man? You're driving down the road, you see that blue light behind you. Oh, God, please let them not pull me over. I promise I'm going to go to church. I promise. Please, please, please. You go past you, Sunday comes. Oh, I'm tired. Right? Please, God, let me catch this fish. I promise, God, if I catch this fish, oh, I will praise you forever. You catch the fish, yee-haw, you eat them, you never thank God. we made vows to God. I did. Especially when under pressure, when you feel like that cockroach trapped in that corner. And when you feel like that and you make promises to God, God, please, please get me out of this. I promise, God. Yeah, you know, you're hunting and you see that nice animal in your scope. Oh, God, give me strength. Yeah, yeah, pah, I got him. Yeah. And then you brag. Don't give God the glory. Yeah. I mean, is your attitude toward God? Do you think God is mean, cruel, and unfair? Or do you believe that God is in control and has your best interest in mind? There was a time in my life where I thought God was mean, he was cruel, he was unfair, and I was stuck in this rut, in this rotten attitude. From the time I was 17 years old till I was 37, I was mad and upset at God because he took my youth leader away to heaven. That was my closest mentor, my closest thing to God, and God took that away, and I could not understand. I still don't understand. And I was angry with God for 20 years. And I didn't go to church. I didn't want nothing to do with God for those 20 years. I'll tell you this. As I look back, that was the worst 20 years of my life. That was the darkest 20 years of my life. And I thank God that he sent my wife to pray for me, to get me out of that rut and that bad, bad attitude. What is your attitude towards God? Do you stand in awe of him? Do you fear the Lord? Do you have reverence for him? I want to close with this. In Philippians 2, 5 and 8, it says, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus was humble. Jesus was willing to give up his rights in order to obey God and to serve people. And like Christ, we got to have that servant's attitude. I am here, Lord, for to be used by you to serve others, not to be served. Remember, each and every one of you, from this very moment on, you have control over your attitude. Don't let other people control your attitude by what they do. Man, that happened. You know when they drive slow in front of me? They control my attitude, and I hate that. I really hate that. I gotta stop that. And it's my worst thing. I better do that before God takes away my driving abilities because it causes me to sin. You can see going down that road is not a pleasant path. And if I continue down this path, I'm afraid he might do that to straighten out my attitude. And I hope it doesn't get to that point. You have a choice. You can look to change your attitude because you are in control of it. And now with these things in mind, we should have that right attitude. Instead of grumbling about our government, which I used to love to do, thank God I don't know enough about politics to grumble about it enough. All I know is we need to pray for them because, boy, they do need wisdom. And for our sin, man, we got to understand the wages of sin is death. And we need to change our attitude that and not get comfortable with it. And God, what is our attitude toward God? He has my best interest in mind, so whatever happens, know that he's in control and he's trying to work things out in you for good, not for bad. Amen? Amen. I'd like to invite the worship team to come up. And if you are brand new here, and maybe you had a bad attitude in a different area in your life, but I'd like to give you an opportunity. If you really believe that the wages of sin is death, and you really believe that God is in control, and that you believe that you need to receive God, because the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you to pray with me this prayer. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'd like to pray for you. No shame. Would you hold up a hand? God bless you. Anybody else? No shame. Anybody? Let me put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. They said yes. They believe. Their attitude toward you is that you are God. And they trust you. That's why they prayed. So, Lord, I pray as you enter them that you would live them in them. You would change them. You would make them a model Christian for all the world to see. We thank you so much for this time, this place, that each week we have to come to listen to your words and your voice. We are grateful and we thank you. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in KL, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.